incredible material, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as I do. In fact, I got so excited about it last week when I was preparing for this call, knowing I was having a big weekend, that I took it and I trained it over the weekend in South Carolina as well, because it's so critical. Okay, so let me put you on mute, and then we'll go forward with the training today. Okay, great. So we're going through Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which we all know is Stephen Covey's book. And, of course, you can get that on the Internet used for like $4 or $5, or you can go to a thrift store or used bookstore and probably pick it up for 25 cents. But I'm telling you, it's the best deal on the face of the earth in terms of value for cost in terms of the material in there. And we've already gone through the first four habits. And today we're going to talk about habit number five. And habit number five is seek first to understand, then to be understood. And how critical is that? You know, because if we look at our standard approach in life, when we work with other people, is that we typically go into relationships and we have our own agenda. We clearly have our own set of perspectives and belief systems and paradigms because that's who we are. But when we deal with other people and we communicate with other people, we tend to have our own agenda around it. So we, you know, go after people and we talk to people about different things, but we always end up talking about how we feel or what's important to us, and that's how we operate. We operate from our perspective, or what we call our autobiography. And I'll give you an example of that. And one of the examples that comes out of the book, it's a concept of a mother dealing with a college-age son who's depressed. And of course, mom. And I'll just read through this because it'll hit home to you because it hit home to me. Where a mom is talking to your son, saying, "Come on, honey, tell me how you feel. I know it's hard, but I'll try to understand." "Oh, I don't know, mom. You'll think I'm stupid." "Of course I won't think you're stupid. You can tell me. Come on, honey. No one cares as much for you as I do. I'm only interested in your welfare. What's making you so unhappy?" And the son says, "Oh, I don't know. Come on, honey. What is it?" "Well, to tell you the truth, mom, I just don't like school anymore." And here's the mom. "What? What do you mean you don't like school? After all the sacrifices we've made for your education? Education is the foundation of your future. If you'd apply yourself like your older sister does, you'd do better and then you'd like school. Time and time again, we've told you to settle down. You've got the ability, but you just don't apply yourself. Try harder. Get a positive attitude about it." Big pause. "Now go ahead. Tell me how you feel." Are you guys reacting to this? Does this not sound exactly how we operate? I mean, it just screams at you that this is, and what's the mom's agenda? She goes into autobiography. "Just do what I've told you to do. Education's important. When I was a kid, be like your older sister. Apply yourself." Does she really listen to her son? Is she really listening? Is she really seeking to understand him before being understood? No. She's putting zero effort to understand him. Zero. And we do this all the time, especially to the people closest to us, because they're the ones we feel responsible for. And it's the worst thing we're doing. We're shutting them down. We're not listening. We're not hearing. We're not understanding them. So the concept here is, you know, quit having this tendency to rush in, fix things up with good advice, diagnose all these things before you even know what the problem is. So in interpersonal relationships, we need to convert our process to start seeking first to understand and then be understood. There are four basic methods of communication that we've all known for years. We know reading, writing, speaking, and listening, right? We've heard all of those over and over and again. And communication in and of itself is the absolute most important skill in our life. We spend the majority of our life communicating. Every interpersonal relationship is based on communication skills. So just note when we learn all these different forms of communication. When do we learn how to speak? You know, we start speaking when we're a little kid. You know, 1 year old, 1.5, we start speaking, formulating words. And then we go to school and we learn how to, or not even school, maybe preschool, maybe even mom and dad, they start teaching us how to read and write when we're 2 and 3 and 4 years old, right? When and how do we learn how to listen? Who taught you how to listen? Where did you learn that skill? How many years of school did you spend learning how to listen? We spend years learning how to read and write, years learning how to speak. But what about listening? And therein lies the problem. We really get very, very little, if any, training on listening. So we all end up in that same paradigm that our parents were in, which is basically we listen like they listened, or should I say more appropriately, we don't listen like they didn't listen. Because that's what we learn and that's what we're trained, is what listening's all about. So critical. So let's look at, there are many different ways of listening. You know, we listen in many different directions. And most of them are totally ineffective. Most of them are advisory, or they're, I want to change things, or I'm going to try to, you know, affect people, and I'm going to convince them of my opinion, and I'm going to do, that's the way we listen to people. We listen with a concept that we're, you know, waiting to give them all sorts of advice. But the most effective, the highest form of listening is what we call empathetic listening. And that's what we're going to talk about today, empathetic listening. Because when you use the words, seek first to understand, how do you understand somebody? You listen to them. And it's a mechanism of listening that's going to allow you to put yourself in their place. Empathetic listening, that's what it is. It's the highest form of listening. It's a mechanism of creating a commerce between people's hearts. And this is so crucial, people. This applies in such a significant way in how you do your Manatech business. Huge. Most of us listen with the intent to reply. That's our whole intent. We're intent to reply. Like, I love this. He gave an example in the book. He said a father once came up to Stephen Covey and said, I just can't understand my kid. He just won't listen to me. So Covey said, well, let me try to understand what you're saying. You can't understand your kid because he won't listen to you. And the guy repeated himself like three times saying the same thing before he finally saw the ludicrous nature of what he was saying. He doesn't understand his kid because his kid doesn't listen to him. He just won't listen. Maybe if you want to understand your kid, maybe you ought to be listening to your kid, not worried about him listening to you. See how funny we are? We listen with intent to reply. In other words, we want to control it, right? That's how we look at things. You know, you ask somebody, well, tell me, how are you feeling? I mean, what's going on for you? And the person expresses themselves, and you go, oh, I know exactly how you feel. You know, this is how I felt. And you start going into your experiences. You can't wait to share because you feel like you're contributing to them by your share. When all you're doing is getting into your own autobiography, your own rightness takes over. You never want to take time to understand the other person. You're just sitting there talking about your rightness, your autobiography, your experiences. You're projecting your autobiography onto the other person instead of trying to step into their position. So what empathetic listening is about is it's about you sensing and you're feeling what the other person is going through. You get inside the other person's frame of reference, not by you giving your autobiography, but by you looking through their frame of reference. You try to put yourself in their shoes. Try to step in their shoes. Many of us have a hard time doing that without taking our frame of reference with us. Empathetic listening is not about, it's about abandoning your frame of reference and stepping into their frame of reference. And it's an incredible process of how you can start communicating soul to soul with a person, heart to heart with a person, getting that kind of intimacy in communication that allows you to really contribute and meet the needs of another person. Empathetic listening, why don't we do a lot of empathetic listening? Well, a lot of people don't even understand it. They can't even step into it. They can't even conceptualize it because their life is all about them. So everything has to fit into their frame of reference or it's wrong. It's that I'm right, you're wrong scenario. Okay, so a lot of us do that. But the more importantly is that empathetic listening, once you understand it, which is a beautiful thing to really focus on and understand about how to sense, how to feel another person's feelings, how to step into their world, into their frame of reference. When you think about doing that, empathetic listening is risky. Why is it risky? Because for a person to step into somebody else's frame of reference, it takes a lot of security for you to go deep into a listening experience because you open yourself up to being influenced yourself. So, but as long as you're secure with your own, you know, compass, your own principle-based living, you can readily do it because you're so secure with your own strength of your principles. And now you can freely become vulnerable to the other person and support them and find out where they're coming from. So that is what empathetic listening is. It's truly the highest form of listening. It's the most incredible mechanism to overcome virtually any contentious situation because you seek first to understand. So you stay away from conflict and you seek first to understand. Another way of looking at this is diagnose before you prescribe. You know, when you go to doctor's offices, you got to get the diagnosis first before you, if you prescribe before you diagnose, it's deadly. Sometimes it's deadly even if you diagnose and then prescribe, but in terms of turning the tables, looking at an analogy, that's one you can look at, the medical analogy. Another way you can look at it from a Manatech perspective is, what do we need to do? We love to prescribe Manatech products to people. We love to tell them what to take, and we haven't even found out the true need. And I'm not talking about a need to have lupus necessarily. I'm talking about a need. Some people just need to be loved. Some people just need to make some extra money. You know, at my training I did this weekend, I said, how many of you want more business builders in your organization? And everybody raised their hand. They all wanted business partners. And I said, how many of you present the business to people? Only two people raised their hand out of the entire room. Well, how are you going to get, I mean, if you're not helping somebody, if somebody's need is financial, and you're not even in a position to present that to somebody, then how are you going to help their need? How are you going to pour into them in a way that's effective? Because you don't want to listen to that need. You just want to go on your agenda around health because your agenda for you is more important. Well, what is empathetic listening about? It's about not your agenda. It's about determining where the other person's coming from. What's their frame of reference? What is their need? Not overpowering them to convince them that their need is what you want it to be. So what an incredible ability you'll have to impact lives if you just listen to find out where the person's need is and respond to that. Again, empathy, not your agenda, empathy. Step into their frame of reference, not your frame of reference. Because we listen autobiographically, again, autobiographically means we come from our experiences, this is what I feel because I went through it, I did this, and we tend to respond in one of four ways. And these are the classic ways that we respond to people, i.e. we listen to people this way. We come from evaluation, okay? And this is, I've talked about this before when we've talked about listening skills with Carol McCall and all that. When we listen to people and we base everything, every time we hear somebody, we listen to them with a concept of, do I agree with what they're saying or do I disagree? That's purely listening from an evaluation stance. Another way we listen is we tend to probe. We ask more questions. But, when people say something, we start asking questions. And that's great to ask questions. But our problem is what when we start asking questions? That a lot of our questions are coming from our frame of reference, not taking into account their frame of reference. We're not trying to step into their frame of reference. We're asking questions from our frame of reference. So we might even be a little manipulative in some of our questions because we're trying to guide them down a different path. And that's called probing. We listen from another person. We advise. We listen from advisory. We give counsel based on our own experiences. And if you've read the book, Men Are From Venus, Women From Mars, you know, from the men on this call, you know that's what you tend to do. In fact, in this class I gave on Saturday, it was hilarious how many men said, well, you know, when my wife gives me a problem, I'm going to help her solve it. And in the book, what does it say? It says the women don't want solutions. They just want to be heard. They want somebody to have empathy for where they are. When you throw, and I know there are people on this call that can feel that. You feel hurt when every time you mention something, your husband tries to solve it for you. You're just looking for somebody to have empathy, to join you in what you're feeling, and to experience it with you, which supports you working through it. That empathy gives you that depth of communication, that soul-to-soul, heart-to-heart communication, instead of somebody just throwing, unilaterally a big solution at you. And that's how we tend to listen. A fourth way we tend to listen is we try to figure people out. In other words, when people are talking to us, we try to judge what is their motive, what is their... Now, this is typically people who have trust issues. If you have trust issues going on, paradigm or programs around trust issues, you're going to be in that category. You try to judge people's motives. You try to explain their behavior based on what? When we try to explain people's behavior or look at people's motives, what are we basing it on? We're basing it on our own paradigms. What are our own motives and what's our own behavioral patterns? So we're not basing it on what they're coming from. We're basing it on, again, going back to our own autobiography. So that's the way we typically listen. And you can see where you fit in one of those four, or maybe a number of those four, maybe all four of those four. We are so scripted in listening that way that it's hard for us to make the shift. But I'm going to help you, because in his book, he gives us a format in taking steps to achieve empathetic listening. And I just ask all of you, again, after every one of these habits, that we've gone through on the Monday call, I've always made a request for you to just go out and experiment with it, because I really believe if you start experimenting with these things, you're going to find the incredible value in them. And you've got to start stepping into them, otherwise things won't change for you. You're going to keep doing the same thing you've always done. So here's the steps. So he gives us steps on how to achieve empathetic listening. And the purpose, again, is to get out of those other mechanisms of listening, to stay away from evaluate, probe, advise, and figure out. Because how do those impact us? We never get to the core things. When you listen from an I agree or I disagree perspective, you cannot possibly ever grow. So you're telling the world has nothing to contribute to you, because they either fit within your paradigm or they don't. You either agree or disagree. They're either right or they're wrong. The world is black and white, and that's how you live. And, you cut out the entire world to you. And one of the things that I always tell people when they come from that framework, because, I only know so well because I lived in many of these frameworks for many years of my own life, so I can come from an experience around it. But one of the things that helped me was when I came to the reality that all of our paradigms and all of our belief systems and all of our judgments that we have that we carry forward in our lives, all of those things all arose from what? From the experiences we had. So it was our family. In fact, the majority of our programs are established between the ages of 4 and 8 years old. So your family experiences, the environment, your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad, they had tremendous impact on you. So you didn't really even choose a lot of the programs running your life. They were given to you, inflicted upon you when you were a child, and they still run your life. And other experiences, getting divorced or having a problem or, the distrust that flows through so many people came up from what? From experiences. Where you've allowed other people's interactions with you to control your decision on how you behave. Because as a little child, you trusted everybody. So, but you've all of a sudden decided to abdicate control over your life to other people who've hurt you to force you to not trust people instead of going back to that child within, which is really where you want to go back. You want to get back to that sense of anything is possible, the world is, you're fearless, you just have inherent trust for people. That's your goal, but we've allowed people to change us. So all those programs that are occurring, you are what's controlling a lot of how who you are. And when I recognized that and I learned that and I saw that people all come from all these different experiences in their life and it's caused their paradigms and programs to be different, but the experience have also added to them, levels of knowledge that I can never have. Because I can never live their lives. Every person on this earth is totally unique. So when I came to that analysis of every person being totally unique because of the different experiences they've had and what they've learned from them, that means that every person on the face of the earth has something to offer me. And with that conclusion, it allowed me to shift off of I agree, disagree, listening, because it's not about agree or disagree. It's like they have something to offer me. They have a totally different life than I've had. They have experiences in their life that they can contribute and pour into me that I'll never be able to experience because I can't live multiple lives. I can only live mine. I don't have, 100 more years to live two other 52-year-olds, lives out. That's not what's going to happen in my life. So why don't I just glean from and learn from other people? So if that helps you get away from I agree, disagree, please jump onto that fact that every human being, no matter what their walk of life is, has something to contribute to you. So anyway, so going back to those, like I said, those four things, evaluate, probe, advise, you know, try to figure people out. You're just stuck. You're stuck in your own paradigm. You're into autobiographical, and you're going to be in hindering building relationships with people. You're not going to be able to have the depth of the relationship, and you're surely not going to have the ability to influence other people because you're sacrificing the relationship up front by being stuck in your own autobiography. So here's the steps. If you want to make a real move in your life, here's the steps to take to achieve empathetic listening. And I, again, start today. Make a decision today. Even take one experiment with it. Do it with your spouse today. Do it with a child today. But start doing it. And the four stages or the four steps to getting there, because you can't just totally shift overnight. But if you just take it and you start working with it, you'll see how it will get you the results, the end result, which is you'll become an empathetic listener. Stage one, the first step of this to get to empathetic listening is what we call mimic content, the first step. And mimic content looks exactly like it is. I'll give you an example. You know, your son comes home and he says something like, you know, boy, Dad, I've had it. School is for the birds. Okay? So mimic content means you say, okay, son, I get it. You think school is for the birds. You get it? All you're doing is mimicking the content. Now, as you will well understand, that can be aggravating to people when you just mimic content. But why is it that we want to mimic content? Why is that the first step to getting to empathetic listening? Because what is involved in mimicking content? Are you expressing judgment, autobiography? Are you advising? Are you, you know, probing? Are you evaluating? I agree, disagree? Are you trying to figure him out? None of those can occur. By mimicking content, you get rid of the four most common ways we listen. We get rid of the autobiography because all we're doing is restating the same thing the person just said. So it's like you're taking your brain and you're not allowing it to go there. You're stopping the autobiography. You're stopping the judgments, the attitudes, the beliefs, all the stuff. We're not going to jump, oh, Dad, I really, you know, can't stand school. You know, most of us right away go into, oh, what do you mean you can't stand school? You got to do it. You got to do it. Isn't that necessary? You know, again, remember the story I said up front, the conversation I said to start this training off was all about how a mom responds to a son who says he can't stand school. After she begged him to tell him what he was feeling, then she just annihilated him and shut him down in 5 seconds or less with her autobiography. What if she just would have said, oh, I hear you, son. You think school is for the birds. What a beautiful way to just let him proceed. You don't know where he's going yet. You're just allowing him to proceed instead of you to take control and try to fix it. Because you haven't even heard what the problem was yet. So mimicking content, it keeps you out of advising, probing, evaluating, and figuring out stuff. So start with that, step one. Step two is you get into rephrasing the content. So your son comes up and says, you know, Mom, I really think school's for the birds. And you hear that and you say, oh, son, so am I understanding you right that you really dislike your whatever educational system or whatever, that you know, whatever you, however you want to rephrase it, but put words in different words. You just rephrase it. You don't mimic him identical. You just rephrase it, that you're really not enjoying your experience at you know, so-and-so high school. You know, so you just rephrase the content. So you put the statement into your own words, but you still stick to the content of his statement. That's the way you're starting to use the left side of your brain. Now you're not just mimicking to ice out all the stuff that you have in your brain that you can't wait to spew out at him, because that's what you've done all your life, is spew your autobiography. Now you get to start using your left side, your logical side of your brain, by rephrasing it. So you're starting to train yourself to be able to rephrase somebody's statement. That's step two. Step three towards empathetic listening is the reflect feeling. So your son comes up and says, oh, Mom, I really can't stand school. I hate it. Step three would look like this. It would say, gee, son, I got it. You are really frustrated. Now you went from left side of the brain, the reasoning and logical side, to the right side of the brain. Now you're getting into emotion. So you're staying away from content, and you're getting into emotion. You're starting to get to his level of where what he's feeling right now. I get it that you're really frustrated. See how we're, again, all of these steps remove you from your autobiography. All you're trying to do is understand him. The focus is on him. What is he saying, and what is he feeling? Now let's go to the fourth step of empathetic listening. This is your fourth stage. This is your final stage where you're really starting to step into empathetic listening. And the fourth stage is rephrasing the content and reflecting the feeling. So when your son says, "I really hate school," you can look at him and say, "Wow, you know what, son? I get it that you are so frustrated and angry about what's happening at so-and-so high school today. I get that." So you're getting his feelings, his anger, his frustration. You're stating it clearly to him so he gets it that you're feeling what he's you sense that. You have that mutuality that you can see that that feeling is deep and it's angry and it's frustrated. And you rephrase his content. So you're allowing him to see it in a different light. You're just twisting it a little bit to just put it in your own words so you're not playing a game, you know, a statement. So you're helping him work through it too. Now you're in empathetic listening. And he starts opening up. When you start doing that with somebody, what you're doing is you're giving them the freedom. You're giving them what Covey calls psychological air to start expressing themselves. How hard is it to do this? I'm going to tell you, people, it's hard as all to get out. But you can only experience it if you start trying. Because we've been so programmed and so scripted to listen all those other ways for so many years. But it's time that, again, if things are going to change, who's got to take action? We do. And it's so effective to opening up and understanding people. And you're going to go through all the judgment, especially around your kids. You're going to go, "But Mary Jo, I'm the parent. He's a, you know, I'm the adult. He's a child. He doesn't know any better." Oh, my gosh, listen to your judgment. Listen to your judgment. We carry so much judgment. I'm going to suggest to you that your two-year-old can teach you more things than you could ever dream of. But are you allowing it to happen? No, because you're the parent, they're the child, and that's the structure you live in, and that's how you were raised, and so that's how you need to be. Instead of stepping into the empathetic listening and really feeling what they're feeling so they can have open expression to you so they can really resolve it. Same thing happens to us around Manatech. People make some statements to us and we go, "Oh, no, that's not the way you really, you need to look at it. You've got the wrong idea." We go into judgment. We go into try to convert them. We go into all sorts of things. When somebody says to you, here's a perfect Manatech example, you know, and somebody says, "You know what, I don't believe in that nutrition." And you look at him and you go, "Well, I can't help it. You just don't get it." You know, we make them wrong. Or we go, "How can you say that you don't believe in nutrition? Don't you think that what you feed your body makes a big difference?" Do you see how we immediately make them wrong? We immediately get on our agenda. We immediately attack. We immediately, you know, instead of saying, "Wow, you got this belief around that nutrition's not important. I sense that." And you stop. You mimic what they said, and they go, "Yeah, I believe that." And when you stop talking, they're going to start talking again. Because you don't even know what their agenda is. You don't know that that's really what they believe. They could be spewing that out. You don't know where that heart of that analysis is. You don't know the core of that, whatever they're feeling or whatever they're expressing. You don't know where it's coming from. Instead, we try to make the person wrong and us right. Instead of just purely listening to them and getting into empathetic listening, which could be so incredibly powerful. And maybe when you start empathetically listening, you can say, "Wow, I can hear a sense of frustration you have around nutrition." And then the person goes, "Yeah, you know, just imagine this. Oh, nutrition, it doesn't even matter. Nutrition doesn't make a difference in whether you live or die or anything like that." And you go, "Wow, I sense that you're frustrated around nutrition." And the person goes, "Well, yeah, I'm frustrated around nutrition. My mother just passed away, and there was some lady who just started giving her all these herbs and stuff, and it didn't work." And you go, "I get it. So you're angry about it not working. And they go, I am angry about it not working because I love my mother and she was so important to me. And they just keep going on. And you know what? When you just keep stepping into their frame of reference, feeling what they're feeling around the frustration they have about losing their mother, and she did all this nutrition stuff, I'm going to suggest to you that by the time you get done in that conversation, that person is probably going to be able to go back to logic and kind of say, I get it that nutrition isn't everything, but, you know, that I still am a living, breathing, you know, individual. But if you don't let him, and you don't step into his paradigm and his frame of reference and work with him in that frame of reference, are you ever going to have a powerful impact on his life? No. You don't have a chance. Because you right away tried to make him wrong. Because it was your agenda, not his. And many of you, when people say they don't believe in nutrition, you never find out why they say that. You never, ever even find what the real communication is. Because you immediately go into your own agenda around it. So try a new way of approaching people in Manatech and understanding them. Seek to understand them first. Because the reality is that every one of us come from different perspectives. You know, if you start looking at the world, and some of you see this because you talk to me on the phone about, oh, Mary Jo, I'm trying to work with this person in my downline, and they're XYZ or they're ABC or they're EFG or they're LMN or whatever you want to number. But the reality of it is that every single one of us on the face of the earth come from what? Different perceptions, different pairs of sunglasses, different programs running our lives. You know, some of you are come from scarcity, others from abundance. Some people think I can all the time. They're positive power. Other people say I can't. Some people come from possibility, others from probability. Some people come from victim, some from responsible, resistant, concessionary, problem-oriented, solution-oriented, glass half full, glass half empty, I am worthy, I am not, self-confident, no self-esteem, result-oriented, mechanism-oriented, promoter versus analyst, on and on and on. I could go and give you thousands of characteristics of people, of how paradigms are programs. We have programs just around, you know, certain things like trust or money. We have tons of programs around those issues. So with all of us being so different in our perceptions, different in our belief systems, in our paradigms, in our things that, you know, really impact our decision-making process, how do we not only, you have to look at the world and say, how do we, I don't even understand how we can, you know, learn to coexist, but how do we not only just coexist, but how do we create anything? How do we create greatness in the world? And I'm going to suggest to you, it comes from seeking first to understand. It comes from us stepping into empathetic listening and stepping into people's lives so that we can clearly touch their lives and impact them. Because when we touch their lives and impact them, see, once you step into their frame of reference and once you start truly seeking to understand them and what's going on for them from their deepest sense of feeling, that you can communicate heart to heart with that person. What is so beautiful that happens is now all of a sudden things that you thought were unresolvable, like when somebody says, I don't believe in nutrition, you would think immediately that, oh, next, go on to the next person because I can't impact this person. Because truly, if somebody doesn't believe in nutrition, how are you going to get them on Manatech supplements, right? I mean, think about it. Your first thing would be to dismiss it. But if you really wanted to find out, you could really start getting into empathetic listening and pursue it and let them come from, and you start stepping into their frame of reference. You're not going to be influenced by them because you're so staunch in your concepts of why nutrition is so important. But you can open yourself up to step into their paradigm to see how they're feeling. And that's when your sphere of influence starts growing. That's when you can really start impacting other people's lives in a big way. You're not going to do it by making them wrong. I guarantee you that. And you're not going to do it by evaluating, probing, advising, and trying to figure people out. Badgering and manipulation don't work. Understanding works. Once you seek to understand, of course, the next step is now seek to be understood. So once you get there and once you establish with them and you communicate from a feeling-to-feeling perspective so that they understand what you're pouring into them and you truly have empathy for where they're coming from, then you can step into, now I'd like to be understood. Because it's equally critical that you're understood in order to reach a win-win result, right? Think about it. You can't just fall into, some of you just will fall into the other person's paradigm and get lost in it. You can't do that because then you don't have any win-win. It's lose-lose probably because you're supporting them staying wherever they might be, which might be a very stuck position, and you're actually getting yourself stuck in the process. That's why empathetic listening can be very vulnerable, create vulnerability. But we need to make sure that we get understood in addition. So remember when we talked about maturity was a balance between consideration and courage, that we're incredibly considerate to other people and we consider their feelings, their emotions, their place, but we also have to have courage to be bold about where we are. So it takes consideration to understand. It takes courage to be understood. The Greeks had a three-part concept here called ethos, pathos, and logos, and Covey suggests that that's exactly the basis of habit number five, seek to understand, because ethos is your personal integrity. That's the confidence people have in your integrity and competence. Pathos is your emotional side, so you're in touch with your feelings and those of others. That's where empathy comes. And then logos, or logos, is the reasoning or logic side. And notice how the sequence goes. First of all, you establish your personal integrity. And in relationships in Manatech, that's what we need to be doing. You can't go out there and convince somebody to get started on Manatech products if they don't trust you. Everybody gets that. That's why we have this whole thing about form. We talk about, we ask them questions. We get them to understand we're interested in them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's establishing your own personal integrity, that you truly are honest, open, and you care about people. When you establish that, you've gotten past that first step of personal integrity. Then you can get into the feelings of people. Empathetic listening is about what? It's getting into the feelings of people. When somebody's pained about what's happening in their life and you go, wow, I get it. You can't even move. I mean, I hear testimonials sometimes. My tears run down my face because I have so much empathy. I've never had that in my life, and I'm so blessed to not have fibromyalgia or rheumatoid arthritis. It's such a blessing to me. When I hear people give a testimonial, I feel their pain. I feel the pain of losing a year or two of their life to a crippling condition. I feel the exhilaration they had when they got the incredible results by swallowing Ambertose. It's just an incredible experience to be able to feel that, and it's so neat, but that's the pathos side. And then once you get through the feeling side, of course, the next one is the logic. In other words, that's the side where you seek to be understood. Bring the logic side into it. So important for us to know that that's what we go through when we even do independent one-on-one presentations, that when we do presentations in front of groups, why talk so much in a group, I talk about what? When I get in front of a group, I talk about my dad's experience. I talk about my life because I want people to get me. I want them to understand the personal integrity of Mary Jo Hilliker. Because if I don't have credibility in front of a group, it doesn't matter what I say. So you need to establish credibility. And then you have to, people always say, I never knew you could make a Manatech presentation funny. I get that comment from a lot of people after I do presentations. And I go, of course you can put humor in it. I'd love to, because I want to play off of emotions. I want people to cry, and I want them to be laughing. I want them to experience all their emotional levels. I want them to feel that, the feeling side, showing empathy for people, empathy for others in the world, and that heartfelt desire to impact other people's lives. And then the logic part is the science part. What are the blue balls on the outside of the cell? You know, we got to talk about glyconutrients, glycobiology, to give them some logic, some science. So you want your presentations to be, you know, cover all those aspects, and that's when you're going to be most effective. And I put a quote at the bottom. You can look through the rest of the writings in the outline. But I put a quote on the bottom. It said, to touch the soul of another human being is to walk on holy ground. I just love that statement. That was so cool. Okay, people, I'm going to take everybody off of mute, and we're just going to close because we're at the end of our call today. Great to have all of you on. Hang on a second. Let me unmute. Okay, we got some dishwashers in the background. Anyone have some comments? Do you grab onto some of these principles in terms of how you're listening today or where you need to go. Anyone there?
Awesome. Great. Even better than last week.
Good. Yeah. Can you see how you can take steps in making some differences in your relationship? Maybe start experimenting with empathetic listening. Everybody?
Right.
Practice it today.
Amen. Right? Right now. Just in fact, I'm going to... Go ahead.
What I love about your classes is they give us the nuts and bolts of life.
Yeah, great. And it is. It's just kind of truth, isn't it? Just coming from heart and speaking truth. And just kind of saying, wow, where do we need to, you know, how can I be more effective? How can I love on people more? How can I contribute more into people? What are tools I can use? And that's one of the things I love about Covey's book. He gives you tools that you can start today. You don't have to wait. You can start today. Good deal. All right, people. Well, listen, you have a great week. You have a great, great, effective week. Become effective listeners. And you know what I want to do next Monday on the call? I want to kick off the call.
Always locked. What do you find today, sir?
I want to kick off next Monday's call with just some shares. Would some of you come? Please just come to Monday's call with shares around your experimenting on empathetic listening, okay?
Yeah, right. Mary Jo, I have one quick question. If you were going to offer advice to someone who is just beginning to look at doing their own presentations, is there a specific program maybe that you've done in the past that you would direct me to?
Not really. I think the best way when you start doing your own presentations is to just get exposure on what other people are doing and make it effective for you.
Okay.
Your presentation needs to be you. You know, and I tell you this because I hear from a lot of people in the field that they love my presentation and they'll listen to Let's Go Natural over and over, some of my old
I've
videos.
Done that, yes.
Over, yeah.
Loving it.
And it's, you know, it's fine to take the material I put out there to help you verbalize some of the science or some of the things, but you've got to incorporate you.
Right.
You can't, you know, don't be Mary Jo because you're not Mary Jo. Be you. People want to hear your heart. They want to hear it coming from you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you could take a bunch of that material, but always put you into it. You need
sure.
it. It's
what?
Your
noise.
Yeah. Right.
Thank Boy. You.
Mary Jo, I couldn't believe your opening example because I had that conversation with my 15-year-old who doesn't like her school anymore, and she wants to change after 5 years from a private Christian school just to a private school.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's like I went from everything from every wrong response to finally having some right responses, but it was a difficult conversation.
Yeah. So you see the benefit of coming from empathy and really getting to the core of what her issue is versus us being so judgmental, authoritative, autobiographical, we're right, you're wrong, you know. It just, we run our lives like that. Not very effective. Okay, great, people. You have a great week. Have a wonderful weekend,
so
and we'll talk next week,
fans.
Okay?
Thanks,
Mary
Jo.
You betcha. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Sure it is.
It is.
The moderator has disconnected.